Thank you very much. Please take your Bible and turn to Psalm 95, 95th Psalm. Again, it is amazing how these psalms progress, and the message that is here is easy to find out because it's also elsewhere in the Bible. So if you get to there to Psalm 95 and you want to turn over to Hebrews and chapter number 3, we'll start there and move through chapter number 4. These last verses are going to sound very familiar if you've read your Bible, and it's not hard to understand what the Lord's talking about because he reiterates it in another way in Hebrews, and it's very understandable. And so when you go there and you come back here, it makes perfect sense. It does. It's awesome how the Bible even explains itself. It's awesome. So the Bible says here in Psalm 95, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." Now, that's all great stuff right there. That is wonderful. But this transition, sometimes, if you're not thinking, you're going to go, "What? I don't understand." Well, for he is our God. So we're going to bow down. We're going to worship him. We're going to kneel before him because he is our God. We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Now, that's a statement about who we are, who the children of Israel are, who those who claim him to be their God. That's who we are. So this is his call. "Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest." The title of the message tonight is real simple. It's worship, belief, and then rest. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the Word of God that teaches us. Thank you for what we learn about you, the truths that are indisputable, the things that your Word say to us about you, and then your call, your expectation for us to yield ourselves to you in obedience. I pray, God, that you would speak to our hearts tonight, and in conjunction with what we heard this morning, that we would be stirred even again to the truth of who you are and what you expect from us. I pray that you'd use this in a way that would convict and convince and then help us. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. So the first six verses, as we looked at, are very... there's not a lot that has to be expounded on. So we're going to do a little walk through the Bible and just see the verses that agree with these first verses about who God is. So in verses 1 and 2, it's the call to all men everywhere to worship, to give praise to the one true God, because there is none else. As we saw this morning, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord," not a Lord, but the Lord. "Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." Further description of who he is. "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods." You need a reason? That's the reason. He is a great God. Do you know if he never gave us anything else in our lives, the fact that he gave us salvation was way more than what we deserve? Do you know even just giving us life and consistently allowing us to breathe air is a great gift? He didn't have to. Wouldn't it have been something if you got saved and he snatched you out? Do you know why we were left here? Do you know why men everywhere are called to repent? So we'll bring glory and praise and honor and majesty to the God of the universe, to the only God, the great King above all gods. Now, we're going to do a little bit of turning here. So let's flip back to Exodus chapter number 15. We're just going to look at some verses, and this is not all of them by any means. These are ones that as I was going through, I just chose them because they speak to the subject that we're dealing with here. But in Exodus chapter number 15, the Bible says this. Now, this is after the Egyptians have been buried in the Red Sea. This is after God drowned them. They see them laying on the shore. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. And then he explains how he triumphed over the people of Egypt, over Pharaoh. Now look at verse number 21. And Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. So they've been delivered. 3 days later, we come to, and when they came to Marah, verse number 23, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it in the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. So the Lord God is interested in the people, not only delivering them, but providing for them. This is what this psalm is written about. Look at Look back to Judges. I'm going to put my marker back in Psalms because I'll lose it. Judges. And we're going to look at chapter number 5. Judges chapter number 5. The Bible says in Judges chapter number 5, verse number 2, praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel when the people willingly offered themselves. Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, when thou wentest out of Seir, when thou marchest out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens dropped. The clouds also dropped water. The mountains melted from before the Lord, even that Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel. And that song, the song of Deborah, brings glory and honor and recognition to the Lord that he had won the battle. Now look at Psalm 9, and we'll do a little bit of work here in the Psalms. Psalm 9, the ninth psalm. Psalm 9 and verse number 11 says, sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doing. We're commanded to sing before the Lord, or sing unto the Lord and worship the Lord. It's a command. Not only when he does good, but just because he is the Lord God. Look at Psalm 13 and verse number 6, just maybe over page. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Look at Psalm 21 In verse number 13, be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength, so will we sing and praise thy power. He deserves praise just because of his own strength. He's not just a God. Now, there's a purpose in going through this, as we went through this morning, very specifically about what we're supposed to learn in adversity. What we should already know before we head into adversity is that God is the one true God. There is none else. No, we should believe it down deep so that it drives us to praise Him. I don't need to understand everything when I know that He is God and there is none else, because I trust Him. Look at Psalm 27, verse number 6. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me when thou saidst, seek ye my face. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Verse number 14, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Look at Psalm 30, the 30th Psalm. Verse number 4 says, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. Look at verse number 12. To the end that my glory may sing praise to Thee, and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto Thee forever. Look at Psalm 47 and verse number 6. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises unto our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. Why? Because He's God of all the earth. So we're commanded to sing this call and praise and to honor and to lift up. We're called to worship Him. We're called. You could even say this, we're commanded to do it. You could say it this way, we're allowed to do it. As I told our children all along, we get to do it. It should not be laborious. Look, when you come in here and people are singing, you should do your best and sing. Why? Well, back in our text, it tells us to make a joyful noise. Turn to Psalm 100, just over a page there. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. We are commanded to make a joyful noise. Why? Because He is God and there is none else. It is the obvious reason why we praise Him. There's an obvious reason. It's not because necessarily what He does day to day, although we are loaded with benefits every day, the Bible says, loaded with them. He gives them to us daily, mercy, grace. He extended grace to us in salvation. He did it for the children of Israel. He extended His mercy to them over and over again. It's a reason to sing because He is God. Go back there to our text. In His hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it. And His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. We did not create ourselves. We're not going to heaven because of ourselves. We are His people. We are called by His name. We are the children of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. He called the children of Israel His people, the sheep of His pasture. The people that He leads, the people that He loves, the people that He guides. guides, the people that he provides for. This is our God. So you got to ask yourself this question before we go any further. Do you really believe that? I mean, deep. Where it governs your actions? I'm not going to take you to the passage, but I'll just kind of give you an example of why that question is asked and why it's important for you and I to really believe that he is God. This is one example. There are other biblical examples, and I'll refer to one when we get over to Hebrews. If you want to turn to Hebrews, you can do that right now, Hebrews chapter number 3, because that's the next place that we're going. But consider this. Job is going through horrendous difficulty. That's not even really fair to just call it that. It was brutal. He lost his children. He lost all of his wealth. He lost his ability to function as a human being, covered by sores, could only sit in ashes. And not to be disgusting about it, but the truth is, he sat in the ashes because the ashes absorbed the goo coming out of his sores. And nobody wants to hear that, but that's the life he was living. He was scraping those sores with a broken piece of pottery to keep them from festering. Now, it's gross, but I want us to understand he was in a horrible state. When you get to Job 38, and we don't need to go there, but if you want to read it, if you want to be impressed by God who made you, the God who made creation, get in the conversation with God that Job had and read what God says to him. Over and over he says, excuse me, where were you when I did this? And when I did this, and can you find the foundations of this? And what about Leviathan? Can you pull him out with a hook? And what about Behemoth? Can you stop him? Can you stop his mighty tail that breaks down trees? Now tell me, where were you again? Do you know where the snow starts? Do you know where the moisture comes from? Do you even know how the animals in nature have little baby goats? Do you know how baby goats are formed and how that all works? Do you know any of that? When you and I begin to think of who God is, it should be part of our understanding that if God is who he says he is, why would I question him ever? He's proven himself. He's proven. He doesn't need a card saying, hello, I'm God. This is my introductory card. He really, just by the creation, we should go, only God. Only God could do that. But here's what man does. Watch. Man says, no, evolution. Man says, no, there is no God. Man says, God is a crutch. There is no God. And even his people start saying, well, I know God could handle it, but it's what we do. But the Bible commands us to turn to him, to believe him, to trust him, to worship him, not to be drawn into the world's thinking. So, the command is given. When you read the latter part of the psalm there, in verse number 7, the Bible says, today, if you will hear his voice. So the Bible tells us right there that God is always trying to teach us, trying to help us, trying to guide us, give us direction, always. Why? Well, it's unique that he uses the word today. Because you can't mistranslate that word. You know what today means? Somebody tell me. Somebody really, really, really deep in philosophy and in theology. Zach, what does today mean? Like today. What does it mean tomorrow? Ah. Oh. So you mean tomorrow will be today? God is always, always, listen, God is always on purpose. No, listen to me. Because we have this, God is always communicating with us. Always trying to gain our attention. Wait, every today that you live, He is trying to speak to you. He's trying to get you to hear His voice today. No, I don't know about tomorrow yet, but when tomorrow's today, I better be listening. So when He says today, if you will hear His voice. Wait, there's a stipulation put on there. If ye will hear. That means you and I have a choice to hear. Have you ever spoken to someone and you know they're not listening? If you have a child, you have. There's just no doubt about it. Is Harper asleep? No, too bad, Harper. She's one of my favorite children to talk to. There are other children in the church, but I'll pick on Harper because you can get mad at me about picking on Harper, and her mom and dad may say something to me later, but I doubt it. But I don't want to offend anyone else, but there are other children in this room like this. I love to talk to them because when you start talking to them and they don't know what you're talking about, they start talking about something totally different because they don't understand. They're not listening. And when you give them direction, no, over here. So Harper's the person that really does not have any connection with anything going on around her. If it does not involve her, and this is very much like her mother, if it doesn't involve her, now she may get mad, but if it doesn't involve her, then it's not, what's the point in listening? I mean, well, I'm not really involved, so why should I listen? And some of you are going, oh, I can't believe you do. If you've been around me anytime, this is where you get your illustrations from your family. I never use myself because I wouldn't be a good judge of who I am. I think I'm better than that, but I'm not because I know how I listen to God. And so you can be talking about, we're going to go here, and Harper's in the car, and everybody can be talking about it. When you get to the location, she goes, oh, we're coming here? Yes, Harper, you wanted to come. Remember, we're going here because you wanted to come. Oh, that's... Well, we've been talking about it all around you. Didn't you hear? No, because she truly is one of the grandchildren who can go off somewhere while everyone else is in another place, and she's fine over here by herself. She doesn't care. Now, think about this. Every day, God is trying to talk to you, and most of the time, that's how we respond. God is saying, no, today I want to speak to you. I want to speak to you. Wait, what? Watch. God does not talk to you or me without this. Hear me. God doesn't magically start speaking. I've heard people say, well, this still small voice told me it was God's will. But it's not in the Bible. It wasn't according to the Bible. There's no way it could have been God's will because God never works outside of this. So that's why He says, today, if ye will hear my voice. This is God directly speaking today. Today, if ye will hear my voice. Harden not your heart, as in the provocation, and in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is the people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath, that they should not enter into my rest. Now, we today, Christians, are seeking for rest. Now, if you go over to Hebrews and you go to chapter number 3, Paul begins to speak about Moses and the children of Israel and the things that God did to them to prove Himself. Now, this is paramount that you catch this. Because God has already proved Himself, and this proves everything you need to know about God. So if you're not listening today, you will have problems with your belief in who He is. That's the first struggle you're going to have, is that you're struggling with believing who He is because you have not heard from Him today. And listen, God does not speak outside of this. He will remind you of this. But he's not giving you new revelation. He doesn't. I wonder why God's doing this. Read the Bible. He doesn't have to explain because of who he is. So, in verse number 7 of chapter 3, the Bible says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts," as in the provocation. Well, what's the provocation? The provocation, there's actually two instances that he's referring directly to. The one is they operated in unbelief. The first one is provocation. So the day of provocation was the day that 40 days after God had given Moses the law. And they heard God speak. Watch. They heard the voice of God. The children of Israel, who had come out of the land of Egypt, heard the voice of God from the mountain. Now, some of them only heard trumpeting and lightnings and thunders because they wouldn't hear. Many of them heard and were afraid. The day of provocation is 40 days later, they disobeyed the first commandment. For you and I to understand that, it was no fluke that Adam and Eve disobeyed one commandment. Man can't keep one commandment. So now in Hebrews, he's speaking to believers. He's speaking to believers and he says, do not do what they did in the past in the wilderness. Don't do it. You are spoken to every day by God. Today, when you hear God speak, hearken to his voice. Do not provoke him. What does that mean? Anytime I disobey this, I'm not listening. And so I am provoking God. I'm pushing his buttons. I'm testing him. If you are the oldest child in your family, how many of you get to be the oldest child in your family? You are a provoker. That's what we do. Right, Chaz? Harley, yeah. She's saying a little slight amen there. Yeah, amen, brother. Older children, I watched Rachel do it. I know I did it. Provokers push buttons. Now, can you imagine this, that God has spoken, is speaking to you every day, and when you disobey what's in his word, and sometimes we do, don't we? Sometimes we disobey and we know we've disobeyed, but we didn't go to his word to be reminded by it. And so what do? We provoke him. What are we provoking him with? We're provoking him by just saying, well, I'm going to live the way I want to live. I'm going to do what I want to do. And we're pushing his buttons to the point where you don't push God's buttons. So watch. If you ever say this, if you've ever said this, I don't like how God made me, you're provoking him. What? Yes. Why? Because God says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. God is the one who knew you before you were born. And check this out. He knows right where you are right now, and he's put you there. Do not provoke God. Today, hear his voice. Do not listen to other voices. Shut those voices off and start listening to God. If you do not listen to God, you're going to provoke him to anger. Listen to what it says. In the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Here's the other provocation. When they came to the edge of the promised land, and God said, go in. And they decided to send in 12 spies. 10 were bad and 2 were good. And 2, Joshua and Caleb, came back with good reports. The other 10 led the people to want to stone them. Now, this is after God has killed the Egyptians, after God brought them out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, after God had killed all of the firstborn of the land of Egypt, had supplied them food, had supplied them water, had spoken to them from the mountain, and they are now saying, we're not going in. This is in Numbers where they have actually been wondering. God had led them the long way to take them so they would not have to go right into battle, so they would not be discouraged. See, God was thinking about them all the time, brought them to the edge of the land, told them he would drive out all the inhabitants with hornets. And some people say, well, the hornets weren't literally hornets. They were little skirmishes that would happen to drive the people out. Hornets are hornets. The Bible knows what it's saying. That would have been supernatural for him to drive out the people with hornets. Have you ever been chased by a hornet? They're no joke. It would drive me right out. In fact, when Assyria put people in the land, God killed the people that came in the land with lions. No, listen. God's already proved who he is. But they provoked him because when he said, go into the land and I'll lead you. I'll provide. Listen, I'll take care of you. Bottom line, they didn't believe. They just didn't believe him. Again, if you've ever had a child and you've told that child, I am going to spank you if you do not stop this, and the child continues to do it, you know why they do it? They just don't believe. If you're consistent and you start spanking them, they start believing. It's pretty simple. So God wants his people to follow him. So here's what he says. Don't provoke me as they did in the days of... And they saw my works 40 years. 40 years. You know what works they saw? Their shoes never wore out. Their clothes never wore out. He fed them day and night. He led them by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And they saw him. They saw God. We've never seen God like they saw God. That's why Jesus told Thomas, blessed are those who have not seen. Because there's faith involved there. And that's what Hebrews is about. The faith to believe only in God that he is the deliverer. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. God once again reiterates in Hebrews that he had set forth a plan for mankind and his followers to follow him and hear from him every day. Again, continue to read verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we behold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end, while it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Why are Christians today not willing to praise the Lord, worship the Lord, because he is God and there is none else? Because we just flat don't believe it. We just don't. Oh, I believe it. I wouldn't be here if I didn't. No, I'm talking about daily, today. Why do we not read our Bible? Because we don't believe anything in there for us. It's hard to read my Bible. Yeah, we do like things done for us, don't we? It's hard to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But do you know, the more you hear the word of God and you do the word of God, the easier it is to hear the word of God and do the word of God. You could call this psalm that we're in the trust and obey psalm very easily. Because all God wants from you, watch, I don't care what your circumstance is, all God wants you to do is hear him every day and obey. He doesn't want to fight with you. He does not want to punish you. In fact, if you just go to chapter number 4, you can go right to the solution that he gives in verse number 12. Do you want your belief to go from unbelief to real deep belief? Look at verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. I'm sorry. I just can't believe that God cares. I can't believe that God's speaking to me. Well, God is speaking to you every day. People say, it's just so hard for me to set aside time to read my Bible. Remember the words, if ye will hear. It's because you have to make a choice to say, I believe that this is the word of God, the Creator. He wants to speak to me today. That's why it's imperative that you mind what you read. Because many things lead away from this, because man and God, our minds don't think the same. And I've used this illustration many, many times, but I'm going to tell you, when I'm asked by someone, what are you reading? And if they don't say beside the Bible, I say the Bible. What book? And I tell them where I'm reading in the Bible. No. What other reading do you do? What other kind of reading do you do? Don't you believe that you need to expand your mind? If I could understand this, it would be way past any book that's ever been written. But watch, I sometimes get up in the morning, and that's not my main priority. You mean even as a preacher? Yeah, I can get here and get a phone call, and boom, my day is ruined. And I'm scrambling. Why? Because there is somebody who doesn't want us to read this. And if I gain understanding in this, I become a formidable enemy to Satan. But if I don't know this, I am a lamb ready for the slaughter. I am in his pasture. He wants me to hear his voice today, but I've got to get past the if. If ye will hear. If you'll hear, here's what's going to happen. You'll worship. You'll believe. And that day, you'll have rest. Some of you are resting now, so that's good. I appreciate that. But I'm talking about real rest in your soul. I'm talking about rest that's peace that passeth all understanding. I'm talking about a sudden death in your family that you are not prepared for, someone close, and you're fine, you're settled, you're at peace, you're comforted. Because you've been busy listening for his voice. Don't ever say God doesn't speak to me through messages. Every time the word of God is opened, he's saying something to you. And if you've not been convicted and changed, there's nobody to blame but you. Because you didn't listen to the if. Ye will hear my voice. Well, sometimes I've heard people preach and I haven't gotten anything out of it. If they open the Bible and they read one verse, you may not have understood everything else they said, but if you really believe that God is God, you know that you're there on purpose at that moment for him to speak. The problem is, we come to church, we sit, we're complacent, we do nothing, we tell no one. We do not obey his word, and therefore, we don't enter into rest. And you know what the world needs to see? People who can rest in turmoil and not go, oh! People who can witness to them and be confident that what they're doing is they're giving them the truth of the only God of the universe. There is no other God. Buddha is not a God. Muhammad's not a God. And they do not need our respect. They don't need our tolerance. Well, that sounds so cold. Yeah, because God is God and there is none else. When you start believing that God is God, you start believing that God created you exactly how you are. You are right where He wants you right now because you have listened to His voice and you understand that He cares about you more than you care about yourself. And He wants you to hear His voice. But there is always, every day, every moment of the day, if ye will hear His voice. Some have sat here tonight and they've heard, wah, 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 wah. I can't believe that we're still here at church. Do you know you've been in church and it hasn't even been an hour? But we start getting itchy. At an hour. Somebody preaches an hour and 30 minutes, which I don't believe I'm capable of. I'm not going to try it. But I can tell you this much. We start getting antsy. Instead of going, wait, 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 wait. God's trying to speak to me. If you'll hear my voice, if ye will hear my voice. I believe it's gotten worse since COVID and we had to watch services for a little while. You know why? I'll just be real honest with you. I don't know that I've finished. You can tell there's a few things that I've finished on television watching, but the thing that drives Twyla nuts, why she will not watch TV with me, is I'm on to the next thing. I got that plot figured out. She's like, Ron, will you find some place and land? Nope. Okay, I'm out. Or she goes to sleep right in the middle of a good movie. Like, you know, some old golden oldie. That's because our attention span is literally that. We talk about toddlers. We don't have much more of a toddler understanding and or attention span when it comes to the things of God. Is it hard to pick this up every day to hear His voice? Yeah. Try reading His word until you hear from Him. And then if you're not hearing from Him, get down on your face before God and say, God, I'm asking you, I'm begging you to speak to me today. I need to hear your voice. I don't want to provoke you today. I want to enter into rest. Now, there is a rest, the Bible tells us. A rest that is coming that we will not see on earth. But Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And He's talking about today rest. That's what part of these verses are talking about. There is a rest that we will experience when we get to heaven. And it'll be a true, deep rest like we've never experienced. But today, if you'll hear His voice, and you don't harden your heart, and you worship and believe, you will have rest today. And really, tomorrow, what I need to do is hear from Him today. And the next day, I need to make that today. Ask yourself this question tomorrow. Because if you sat here and you didn't hear something from God today, it's too late. The day's almost over. So ask yourself this question tomorrow. Have I heard His voice today? And Tuesday, did I hear His voice today? And Wednesday, did I hear His voice today? Because if you didn't, you weren't listening. Because the listening is up to you and I. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.